T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Paul and Jordana, it's already, what day is it? It's Tuesday. I know the days are blurring.
Yes, it's
they're, look, the good news is I don't see any asteroid impacts in the near future. Woo! The Yellowstone supervolcano is not going to blow anytime soon. Aliens have not landed, at least not officially.
Yet.
So there is some good stuff going on.
Yet. And you know what the best part of all of today is?
What?
Mothman is coming. I have spent the morning learning a lot about Mothman because, quite frankly, I'm just exhausted and depleted from a lot of things that are happening, and maybe you're feeling the same way. So when I saw this news story today, I said, this is the story I want to talk to everybody about on the radio. West Virginians, and you know, West Virginia can be a strange place sometimes. West Virginians are campaigning to replace Confederate statues with Mothman. Paul, do you know who Mothman is?
You know, I actually looked it up, and he made appearance.
I didn't know.
Apparently, there's one town in West Virginia where this thing that's half man, half moth back in the mid-60s showed up, and they've been freaked out ever since.
Yeah. It's folklore. It's folklore, okay? That a creature reportedly seen in Point Pleasant, which is in West Virginia.
Right.
And this was published in the newspaper, by the way, in 1967 in the Point Pleasant Registered, that a couple sees a man-sized bird creature something. The national press picked up the reports and helped spread the story across the United States. Then in 1970, a writer introduced Mothman. He was popularized in 1975 in the book The Mothman Prophecies, claiming there were supernatural events related to the sightings. So Mothman is, a sort of a pop culture icon. And I'm looking at a statue. It is a man. It's silver with giant moth-like wings. And in West Virginia, they want to replace their Stonewall Jackson monument. Yes, they have a Stonewall Jackson monument. Confederate general, yes. Shot by his own men. I guess people say he's a great general, but in the end,
it's not a good sign when you're shot by your own men.
They claim it was an accident, you know.
Uh-huh.
So they want to tear down the Stonewall Jackson Memorial, and they want to put up Mothman. I think it's fantastic. I think we should all do it. And then maybe not Mothman, Paul. The question becomes, who do you want to put up, if not Mothman? I mean, Mothman's a good choice. It's a good choice.
Well, first of all, you know, people say, well, what's the big deal with the Confederacy and so what? So what, we have Confederate generals or leaders up on statues? And some people say, well, it's just a show of Southern pride. But for many people, especially people of color, it's a symbol, right? It symbolizes racism and oppression.
Correct.
And everything
Correct.
That's wrong about the human condition. So get rid of the Confederate statues. Mm-hmm. I was intrigued in Tennessee. Folks in Tennessee want to replace the Confederate statues with statues of Dolly Parton.
Oh, yes. Let's do that.
And I think that is a superb idea.
I love that idea. First of all, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I do believe all these Confederate statues should come down. It's like having a statue of Hitler around. No. Yeah, he was a great leader only because he conned everybody into following him and murdering millions of people. So if you want to say that that's a great leader. He was a leader who got people to follow him, but it doesn't mean he was right. So again, statues of Confederate generals or advocates for slavery, we're past that now, folks. We're past that. They should all come down and be replaced with something else. They belong in a museum, not in a place of honor in a town square where black folks and descendants of slaves have to walk past that every day. So we're past that. The question now, that was the fun part, Paul. What are we going to put up?
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
I'm partial to Mothman because the West Virginians got my heart with a giant Mothman. But did you know that there's other very strange monuments all around the country? In Fort Stockton, Texas, there's Paisano Pete. He is the second largest road runner in the world. He stands 11 feet tall. It is a monument to the road runner. In Heritage Hills, New York, there's a memorial to America's first circus elephant. The highly perched pachyderm marks the memory of not one, but two elephants that were gunned down in a small New England town. I guess they got away from the circus and they had to take care of the people. But there is a monument to these two pachyderms. There are some fun memorials all over the place. There's a giant peach in Gaffney, South Carolina, the record holder for the world's largest peach. The town grew a giant peach. That is something to be proud of.
L.A. has a very disturbing ballerina man with the head of a clown and the body of a female ballerina. So, yeah, there are some unusual statues out there. And at 4:30, we are going to investigate the hard-hitting question, who should be on those sculptures? If we tear down the Confederate losers, who should be up there? I can think of a lot of people.
Lots.
What do we know? Let's open it up to listeners at 4:30, weigh in. Who should be on those statues? Most of them are in the South. There are hundreds of them. What should they be replaced with?
We're going to have a little fun today, as you can tell. That is just one of the fun things. Coming up next, we'll have fun with Tim Lammers and his movie reviews on CCO.
We've been dying for this country from the very get.
Now the time has come. There are things to really.
We give this goal time has come today. To our people.
Hold on! Time!
In my line of work, I have to be very careful. And that means knowing exactly who I am in business with.
It's Spike Lee. So we will talk about that in a moment. But we want to bring on Tim Lammers. His movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. As Tim always does, he joins us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. And Paul, you know what I did? I went and watched Do the Right Thing, another Spike Lee movie from 30 years ago, because it deals with the exact same issues that we're having today. I didn't love the movie the first time. I didn't love it the second time when I watched it a few days ago. But this one is another Spike Lee movie. Tim, is this one reminiscent of Do the Right Thing? Is it better? What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, obviously Spike Lee tries to tackle social issues with pretty much every one of his films. And, you know, he finally won an Oscar for Black Klansman for screenwriting, for adapted screenplay. And the interesting thing about the Five Bloods is the fact that, yes, it's an original Netflix movie. We've known this has been coming for a long time. However, it's just amazing how, you know, when you're looking at it now, it seems, well, I think you're going to react to it differently than you would have, say, prior to the events of 3 weeks ago with George Floyd. It's amazing how a movie like this now seems so incredibly timely. Plus, like you say, you go back and you look at a film like Do the Right Thing, or you look at a film like Black Klansman, and all of a sudden you see these films in an entirely different light. And I think that you probably found, Jordana, that Do the Right Thing was even more powerful the second time around.
For sure. It really felt real.
Yeah. So it just gives you, you know, an interesting perspective all of a sudden, especially, and I'm not giving too much away here, but there is a scene involving Black Lives Matter at the end of this film. And it's like, my God, you know, it's haunting the timing of this film. So yes, it's not a Vietnam. It's not a war film necessarily. It's about four survivors from the Vietnam War. There were they went back to Vietnam 50 years after they served there. The remains of their squad leader is there. Plus, there's a stash of gold bars that they want to lay claim to for the sacrifices that they made for the government. But when they go back there, you find that there are still landmines active. There are other people that want this gold. There's just really a lot going on. It's a 2-hour and 35-minute film. It's very complex, but again, very powerful with Spike Lee at the helm.
Tim, can you watch this with a family or not?
Ooh, well, you know, and I'm thinking about Jordana watching this movie, yeah. About how you're not, I mean, some stuff is really grisly. There's some violence in here that is really grisly. So I mentioned the word landmine, for example. Needless to say, we have scenes involving those. It's very, very tough to watch. And I would imagine, you know, it's going to be tough for veterans to watch this film, because right now the soldiers in this film are the former soldiers, you know, they're suffering from PTSD. So, you know, this is a sort of film that might trigger, you know, certain individuals. So you have to be really careful. I wouldn't necessarily, boy, that's a tough one. I mean, because you can learn so much from this film about racism and about, you know, these soldiers and their plight. At the same time, I mean, it's very much an R-rated film.
Right.
It's an original Netflix film that you almost wonder, is this going to be the sort of thing eligible for an Oscar, being that it started on a streaming service? Would it have played in theaters? Probably. Will it be eligible at the end of the year? I don't know, but either way, I mean, push all the awards aside. I think this is a must-see film. I just don't know if it's for really young people to see.
Yeah. Maybe older teens, but not younger.
Yeah,
teens. Okay.
Yeah. It's really tough. I mean, and it's really raw. And again, you just got to prepare yourself. I mean, I prepared myself for this. I figured, you know, anything, you know, regarding the Vietnam War era, you know, with soldiers and PTSD going back to the place where it all began, it was going to be a rough ride in that regard.
Well, what isn't rough, what isn't raw, I pray, is the Disney Plus film, Artemis Fowl. And I think we have a clip from that, DJ.
This isn't about the father. This is about the son, Artemis Fowl. You've grown strong, son. And smarter than I ever imagined.
Then take me with you.
You're all I have now, Artie. There's just one very important thing I have to do.
Authorities launched a worldwide manhunt for the famous collector. He is suspected to have been behind some of the biggest robberies ever.
Dad.
That sounds pretty awesome.
It sounds pretty awesome, but...
Really?
Here it comes.
Here's the thing. I love Kenneth Branagh. He's a great actor, great director. Jordana, you saw one of his films that I recommended, Murder on the Orient Express.
That was fun.
Starred among many, many people, Josh Gad, of course, Olaf from Frozen, one of the best characters ever made. And then Judi Dench. You also have Colin Farrell in this. Production-wise, it's very impressive. Special effects-wise, it's very impressive. It's adapted from a youth novel, a young adult novel. I think, you know, that they're hoping for that audience. But I think a problem sometimes going into films like this is that the films assume you know the story because there's source material, like a popular novel out there. But, yeah, it's something maybe that a teenager, a young teen might have read, but I certainly haven't. So you're going to have to spell things out for me. And when you don't quite spell things out for me, it's confusing. So on top of that, I hate to say it, but, you know, Josh Gad and Judi Dench, when they go through the whole movie talking like this all the time, it's just like, come on, you know, you're so much better than that. I it just seemed really flat to me, unfortunately. And I have to tell you, too, this movie was supposed to come out in theaters last summer. It's one of those movies they kept pushing back. And there's a reason they pushed it back and eventually put it on Disney Plus, because it's just not that good, unfortunately.
And we need
But
some
other than that,
right
you
now.
Liked it, right?
Other than that, I liked it, you know. Yeah. I hate to do, you know, look, as I was telling Jordana on Friday with an awful movie that I reviewed, part of my job is to watch this so I can tell you, don't watch it. You know, there are things like this wonderful documentary series on there called It's a Dog's Life, narrated by the guy who does Goofy, Bill Farmer, on Disney Plus, where we see real-life dogs, all rescue dogs, doing wonderful things as occupations. I mean, there's a lot of great content on the platform. Unfortunately, you have a miss once in a while, and I'm afraid Artemis Fowl is one of those misses.
Okay.
Tim, great to have you on. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you being here with us and saving us from bad movies.
Well, I can direct you to good movies, but again, know that you're getting into a movie like The Five Bloods, knowing that it's really strong content, and again, while it's very important, you know, again, Jordan, I know you don't like that grisly stuff. That it's tough. It's really difficult to watch at times, and it's unfortunate because it's also an important film to see.
Mm-hmm. Tim Limers.
We thank you,
thank
my
you
friend.
So much.
Thank you. We'll talk on Friday.
Thanks,
for sure.
Tim.
See ya.
Tim's movie reviews always brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You are going to need that meditation moment from Jor coming up more than ever. Americans are unhappy, more so than any time in the last 50 years. What do we do to get happiness back? We're going to talk with psychologist Dr. Tali Vang from Hennepin Healthcare. She's up next.
A few weeks ago, Dr. Tali Vang told us about one of her favorite meditations. It was called the Loving Kindness Meditation. So, of course, I had to check it out. And then I wanted to share it with all of you. She's joining us in just one moment to talk about happiness or unhappiness. But for a moment of happiness, I wanted to offer you this meditation. You're supposed to sit or lie in a just very comfortable position. However you have been doing our meditation moment, feel free to stay as you are. Bring your awareness to your breath, and you're supposed to envision your whole body breathing. So just take a few deep breaths. And when you feel your breathing flowing comfortably to whatever degree that is possible, the loving kindness meditation encourages you to find someone in your life who loves you or loved you unconditionally. This evokes giving yourself over to feelings of love and kindness according to you. They're supposed to fill your whole aura or field with love just for you. You can breathe in those feelings, let them wash over you, and you can rest in their warmth. You may not feel particularly worthy or deserving, but that does not matter. In fact, it is irrelevant. The relevant fact is that you were or are loved. And you should breathe in that space and feel good and positive about that. That is a meditation of loving kindness for yourself. You keep breathing, you keep feeling loved, and we will talk with the doctor.
Thank you, Jor. We all need meditation more than ever. A new poll today out of the University of Chicago suggests that Americans are as unhappy now as they've ever been in the last 50 years. 14% of American adults say they're very happy. That's down from 31% just 2 years ago. And this survey was done before the tragic death of George Floyd touched off nationwide protests. So it just seems layer after layer after layer of anxiety between the pandemic, the protests, what's happening right now. And the question we have, of course, for Tali Vang, Dr. Tali Vang from Hennepin Healthcare, is there anything we can do to get happier, to get on the right track? What do you tell your patients, Dr. Vang?
Yeah, well, first, I think the stats that you pulled is astounding. And I think it makes a lot of sense when we think about what has been happening to our society in terms of economically, the effects of just the pandemic and losing so many people, and the changes that we've had to endure because of COVID-19. When I think about happiness and unhappiness, I think of change and not really knowing how much control we have over the changes. And so, when I think about that, I really try to remind my patients to focus on the change that they can implement. What is within their control? And so when I think about that, I think, especially more recently, there's been some, I think, light at the end of the tunnel. And focusing on that can be really helpful in promoting happiness in our own lives. So potential promising studies on treatment for COVID-19 symptoms, potentially promising data on just, being able to go outside. And so, that is something that I'm definitely telling patients to do, especially Minnesotans, especially with this beautiful weather, going outside to fly a kite, fish, go camping. These are ways that we can focus what is within our control and be one with nature. That can promote happiness.
Okay.
That's fantastic advice. I mean, Paul, even just sitting and looking at the lake from your basement, I'm sure that is very helpful. That's why I've set up in front of a window as well. Dr. Vang, things seem so heavy right now. And maybe I'm just taking this too personally, but like every minute I feel like I'm not focusing on being anti-racist or contributing to the community in a productive way. Or, if I'm too lax about social distancing with my kids' friends, I feel like that is an extra stressor. And those are really important and serious things that we should be considering. I like your message about being out in nature, but sometimes it almost feels like, well, I'm wasting time if I'm out in nature. Speak to the importance a little bit of self-care and of taking time off from all of the hard work that we are all supposed to be doing and maybe giving ourselves a break for having that moment.
Yeah. So I want to start to address what you're saying, Jordana. I want to start with, if you are having the sense that you're just not doing enough, that is a reflection of you as truly being a good, caring person, which means, in my opinion, the world needs more of people like you. So we really need you to slow down. We really, really need you to be able to take care of yourself, because then you will be in this fight for the long run. It doesn't help society. It doesn't help your children. It does not help anyone if you burn yourself out. So I think that speaks to the importance of why it's important that people are taking care of themselves. So it's easy to get caught up and to feel like you're not doing enough. But I think when you burn out, then it doesn't serve anyone, and you're going to feel even worse. So yes, I think taking care of yourself is so incredibly important, especially during these times. And if you forget about yourself, I think a lot of times healthcare workers especially are prone to forget about themselves. Schedule it in, set an alarm where you are seriously penciling in your own self-care time. And I know, that may sound a little silly for some people, but that's important because we forget. We forget about ourselves, especially when we are wanting to do more. So I would definitely recommend doing that.
Dr. Vang, last question. A lot of people are not sleeping well, and for good reason, with everything that's going on right now. What has helped me, and I'm not sure I'm atypical, but if I scroll through, some call it doom scrolling, right, where you scroll down on your phone or your tablet and the latest headlines, and it's like, yuy, I find I'm much more stressed and I have a tougher time falling asleep than if I just watch, especially a comedy, a light show, a movie on Netflix or whatever. If I stream something nonsensical and brainless, I can go to bed, as opposed to, searching the latest headlines. I mean, is there something to that?
Yes. And I will say, with sleep hygiene, it's not recommended that you are on any screens about 2 hours before you go to bed, just because screens have a blue light, that messes with your circadian rhythm. So the chemicals in your body that start to get you sleepy, when you're watching a screen, that blue light actually interferes. And so it'll keep you up longer. Now, with the content of the things that you're seeing and you're exposing yourself to, especially if you're prone to overthinking, that is definitely going to affect how fast you can fall asleep, especially if you start to think about the latest events and just, you know, if you're worked up and you're angry or triggered in any way, that is going to keep your body from calming down. So I recommend not using any screens 2 hours before you go to bed, and maybe just reading a book or, you know, playing a board game or something like that instead of watching screens. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Paul. I can't believe you didn't know
that.
Grandpa,
what's a book?
My God. That's because he doesn't have small kids. I mean, Dr. Vang, you know, we're wrestling our phones out of the kids. Come on, an hour before bed. You know, we've heard that. It's because your kids are grown, Paul, so you haven't had to fight that fight yet. So wait until that grandbaby gets your phone.
Oh, God.
Dr. Vang, thank you so much. I think these talks are so important. And you know what? You've already sort of changed my perspective with the answer of the question that you gave me, you know, feeling like I can't learn, I can't do better, you know, as a regular person if I don't take a break. That is super helpful. So I am very grateful. Thank you for the free therapy, Dr. Vang.
Thank you for having me. Yes.
It's great. I do feel better about that because I have these pangs of guilt sometimes, like you're not doing enough. I should be listening to that book on tape that I downloaded instead of just listening to music and, you know, taking a break. So I mean, I think we all go through that, especially now. So it's tough.
You know what makes me anxious is they're going to be Major League Baseball. And who's to blame for this impasse? It seems the fans are the ones taking it in the shorts. We'll have the latest with Hurricane Mike Max next. Paul and Jordana back with you. Boy, the feeling of disgust is growing for baseball fans around the nation. Major League Commissioner Rob Manfred told ESPN a lack of dialogue with the Players Association is responsible for the real risk that a 2020 season may not take place. A lot of the owners talking about cash flow problems, nothing like hearing about the quandaries of billionaires. Fans are becoming resentful, to say the least here. Mike Max joins us with his perspective. Mikey, are we going to have a season?
Boy, I sure hope so. I still think they will. I think they'll find a way because there's a lot at stake in terms of the grand old game always comes back, no matter what people say. But there's no reason right now to have a lull in the storm when you've got this great momentum that they've built up in baseball. And they figured out so many different ways to so many different profit centers, whether it's their regional sports networks, radio, obviously the .com surge, being able to sell across team lines, as they say, so you can get a package anywhere you live in the United States and watch the Twins on your phone. All those things they have built to such an apex. And right now the only thing between baseball starting and it not starting is greed. I mean, I lay this one on the players. Now there is the semantics of an offer to make a case for the players. They offered a 72-game season at, I believe it was 70% of their prorated salary. If they played a 50-game season, it was either their full salary or 80%. Well, when they did the math on it, they said, in essence, if you played 50 games, you'd get $100,000. Let's just say 50 games, you get $100,000. If you play 72 games, you get $110,000. So they made a real bad clerical error in their proposals. You know, the difference between 22 more games and you'd be getting almost nothing compared to 50 games. So the owners did make a mistake there. I just don't think the Players Association, they're so dug in because of Marvin Miller and all these guys in the past that have paved the way for them, done a great job negotiating contracts on behalf of the union. They're so bent on we can never go backwards because other people did it for us. And this is a different circumstance, folks. This is about the country. This is about other people that you work with that are losing their jobs because of it. There's a lot more at stake than just that.
It's like we're not listening. We're not learning from the current
ethos. Exactly.
It
makes me sick.
Yeah. It's like, can't we do something for other people? And if that's, oh, just play baseball for a little less money, make that happen. This could be the great unifier in America. This could be them leading the way to what sports in America should be. And for this to be happening right now, I'm just disgusted by the whole thing.
And you should be, particularly when other sports out of season. You know, this is their season. Out of season, basketball and hockey and soccer are doing everything they can to play a season. Now, right. Granted, they're getting paid for it. There's money involved. But there is in baseball, too. And the Players Association, really, Tony Clark runs it, so many times that person at the top worries about their legacy more than anything else. And if he's got the players' ears, you don't get anywhere. But I hang this one on the players. People can talk about ownership, this and that. They're just trying to get to a point where they can keep their employees fed. You know, they want to keep jobs for people and try to break even this year, or you know, mm-hmm. at least mm-hmm. approach that so that next year they can start over again. But they're not asking that much. They're not trying to make a great deal of money on this season. The owners aren't, and they're not going to have any revenue from the stands. They're, you know, if you can't have people in the stands and ticket sales, gentlemen, you lost a lot of your money. That's just the way it is for everybody. But you got to share in it.
Mm-hmm. Mikey, we're counting on you to resolve this mess.
We'll
Can
talk
you fix
about
this,
it tonight. We're going to talk to an agent about it and how it plays into a major baseball agent and much more tonight of the show.
We'll be tuned in at 6:30. Thank you, Mike Max. One way to stop COVID-19, put the lid down when you flush. Details next.
Oy.
I'm serious. Hey, it's news. Oy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.